Hey everybody, welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me, as always, is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
I've had a tough week.
It's event week.
I don't have my speech written. I shouldn't say that. I know what I want to talk about and what I'm going to talk about.
Yep.
But, you know, got to get it written down. I got to get the PowerPoint cleaned up.
Yeah.
I'm feeling, it's weird. The older I get, the more stress I feel when stuff like this is happening.
Yeah.
Like, when I was younger, I was like, who gives a shit? Like, literally the night before, I could just wing it and be like, it's put together and it's fantastic. Now it's like, fucking worry. I think it's my age.
I'm probably not going to do a PowerPoint for mine. I've got most of it written out. Like, I've given a version of this talk before. But I think this time I'm going to go no PowerPoint and just keep the focus on the message and not the imagery.
Well, it's not.
So... like, I know a lot of times PowerPoints can add to the message.
Mine's just like notes and bullet points. Like there's no images or, you know, anything like that. It's just like, these are the notes. And then as I go through, I will say this, it makes it easier to stay on track without having to have a bunch of notes if you're not memorized.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so a lot of times whenever I'm given a talk, I use a notes feature on my phone and I'll plug the whole talk in the notes feature. And then I'm just scrolling on my phone like... I'm standing up there with my phone in my hand, using my phone for notes. So that's going to be the plan with this one, I think.
Yeah.
No PowerPoint for me.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. I got in a wreck last week. That
yeah.
was a lot of fun.
Totaled your, well.
I don't know yet.
Jury's out yet, but
jury's
most
out.
Likely totaled your shit.
Probably. So I called them today. I said, hey, man. Like, I went up there.
Farmers?
Dale's Auto Body has my truck.
Yeah, I know, but Farmers Insurance?
State Farm.
State, oh.
They had State Farm. Dude, so far, insurance, they've been great. Like, I called, and they had already made a claim, and they're taking liability. And, like, they set up my rental car.
Yeah.
They set up the tow. They set up the appointment with Dale's. So far, so good. We'll see. I've learned my lesson with insurance companies. I know.
You got to ride their ass. So I was just watching a video, like, 2 days ago of a guy whose truck was in the California wildfires. And...
what? Okay, grain of salt. It's California.
But well, yes, right, but ahead. Half his truck is like burned, like blackened on one side.
Okay.
Guess what State Farm wrote the value of the loss at? It's a brand new like Toyota Tundra.
Oh,
like,
nice truck.
Like within a year or two old. Like
okay, $30,000 truck, $40,000 truck, something like that?
Yeah, I don't know, probably what? Even more.
What?
State Farm was like, there is a total of $5,000 in damage to this truck. It needs a whole new like driver's side.
I would have said, okay, that's fine. Get it fixed.
Yeah.
Get it fixed.
Get it fixed for $5,000.
Get it fixed.
Yeah. Well, then they're going to be like, well, we found this guy. His name's Cletus. He operates under a bridge near an RV and a couple of tents.
I will say this. They asked me where I wanted it to go. They said, we have all these approved places that we like to deal with.
Yeah.
Who do you want?
Yeah.
And they said, they were like, it was like CarStar, you know, all the shitty ones. And then it was like Dale's. I was like, take it to Dale's.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. I'm not gonna take the opportunity to.
I know you had some issues. With Dale's
I had an
one
issue
time.
With Dale's, and I'm gonna keep it. I don't want to.
We've talked about this on the show.
Yeah, I don't want to tarnish their business. I don't want to drag them down.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna be a hater of theirs, but I'm gonna choose not to do business with them anymore.
Yeah, because your fender well and all that bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, but it was because they lied is really what it was.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And that was partly my insurance too. My insurance was trying to take Dale's side, and I had to get involved and argue both of them. But
yeah, we haven't talked about me wrecking the truck, but
yeah,
I was just. You know, cruising down the highway, doing 60 miles an hour. It was icy out.
Inclement weather.
It was inclement, although the lane I was in the middle lane were dry.
Yeah.
Chick driving down the road behind a semi.
in the right lane.
Just decides to pull out in the right lane, loses complete control, literally T-bones me.
Yep.
At like 60 miles an hour. I don't know how I didn't flip the truck over.
She gets sideways in the slippery lane.
Yeah.
And then comes across the two lanes with traction. So she's...
Yeah, shot like a rocket ship.
Center punch.
Just literally a rocket. I don't know how I didn't flip the fucking truck over.
Yeah.
That truck was... I shouldn't say the truck was toast because it actually looked okay, but it took a beating.
Her, you know, car, why?
Because it's a Chevy.
Like a rock.
That's right, baby. Yeah. Chevys and seatbelts. I'm telling you. Her engine was literally laying on the ground.
Yeah.
That thing is fucked.
I was telling Danielle after I came and got you, I was telling Danielle, like, that car, like, I don't know how that girl walked away from it because every airbag's off. And like the front half of the frame that holds the bumper on is on the ground.
Yeah.
Like that car got fucked.
You know, I was thinking about it. If she hadn't hit me and hit that center barrier.
Yeah. You cushioned her.
You think she'd have lived?
She'd have lived, but she'd have been hurt.
She'd have been fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. You definitely cushioned her blow and slowed down her impact because you probably gave her about 10 feet.
Yeah. At least. And she, because she bounced off, still lost control and still hit the median after she hit me.
Yep.
That was bad. I went up there. I was telling where I was going with, I went up to Dale's. I went and looked, took some pictures and stuff and looked up underneath there. You know, the transaxle that comes out of the four wheel drive completely snapped off
on your truck,
on my truck.
Yeah.
The yoke and air, like you can just see it. I'll show you a picture later. There's all the U joints are still on there and it's just out.
Yeah.
Like sticking out of the side of the truck. It is. If they fix it,
if they fix it, it'll be a damn solid truck.
I want them to fix it because I love that truck.
Yeah.
It, like, I'm not going to go find one that's that old, that doesn't leak oil, doesn't burn oil, and that I just...
All new front suspension.
Yeah.
All new transaxle.
It'd be great.
Whole new passenger side, because it's fucked all the way down the passenger side.
Yeah, it's toast.
Fender, doors, half door, bedside. Yeah. Like, all that was...
It's bad.
Jacked. Did it get your back wheel, too?
No. Or it didn't hit the bed either. Somehow she missed the bed.
Oh, I thought I saw
the cab is dented, but the bed itself is not.
Maybe because it was icy, maybe somebody ran their hand down the bed. I saw something on the bed that looked like car slid down it, but maybe it was
just probably a hand. And,
yeah.
Yeah. But so. So I've had I haven't felt right since, like, I walked away. I was fine. I was like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't take the whole, like, roll around on the ground. Don't touch me. Call my attorney.
Call my lawyer.
I should have. But, like, my adrenaline was rolling. I was like, I'm out. I'm fine, you know?
Yeah.
But, man, I think I did get a concussion.
Yeah.
Like, just a mild, you know, whiplash concussion. And I still am not thinking clearly, I don't think.
I haven't thought clearly in a long time.
That's for others. That's the weed.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Those brain cells are frozen still.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's just... It seems like it's been 3 weeks. It's barely been a week.
Yeah.
Tomorrow will be a week.
It's crazy how much time and attention. The moment you're removed of a vehicle,
it sucks.
And you have to do something, either, like, for you, it's the accident. For me, it was the theft.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much time it takes to resolve that. And it's crazy how much time you find to resolve it.
Yeah.
Because life doesn't stop. You got to do this in addition to life.
Man,
you know?
And that's probably why I feel so stressed is because of that. And it's just like all this extra bullshit you have to deal with. And every time, like, I don't want to be a Nelly, you know, crybaby here, but it's like, man, out of all the times of the year, this is like the one fucking time I couldn't deal with it don't have the time. But, you know, nevertheless.
Anytime, it's kind of funny. We always find ways to say that. Like,
that's true.
The worst time for this to happen. It's never a good time.
Layla's got soccer all week.
Yeah.
I'd be saying
why can't
thing.
It be in the winter?
The worst part.
Why can't it be in the summer?
The worst part is you saw the Dodge I'm driving.
So, you mean the weed mobile?
Oh my God, dude. So
I'm pretty sure whoever rented that before you, his name was Big Worm.
Dude, I don't know. It's got Texas plates on it. So I call Thursday morning. And I'm like, make the claim, blah, blah. They're like, oh, we've set up at Enterprise Rent a Car for you to car this and that, blah, blah. I call. We don't have any trucks. When will you get a truck? I got to have a truck. We'll have one Friday. I go there Friday morning. No fucking truck. I'm fuming at this point. I go ahead and go up and check the event space out, right? I come back. The guy calls me at 4. He's like, hey, I got a truck. I was like, okay, I'll be there. I get there. It's a Ram 1500 Classic V6. No four-wheel drive. Have you ever seen a truck with a turn dial for park, reverse, neutral drive?
Yeah.
There's no lower drive gear either. It's just drive.
Yeah. Park, reverse, PRND. That's all it. Yeah.
Dude, I get it. This is funny. the girl that took me out to the truck, she opens the door and she goes, I don't know if you're going to be offended or not, but I probably need to go get some spray. And I was like, what do you mean? You just get some, she's like, I was like, what, does it stink? She's like, it's bad. I was like, how bad? So I just swung the door open. I was like, oh.
They need to invest in an ozone machine.
Cheech and Chong ridded that motherfucker for a week-long tour of Hot Box is what that truck smells like. It's bad, man. I've had the windows down for 4 days. Two in my garage, two outside, still smells like weed.
Yep.
That's strong weed. It was so strong, I looked in the car like thinking, oh, they forgot some. Like, there's got to be something. There's got to be an ounce in here. Yep. Something. Nothing.
Nothing.
I searched the whole thing twice. I've used a whole bottle of Febreze.
Yeah.
It's awful. It is awful. And it's a piece of shit. No tinted windows. No
towing allowed.
It sucks.
Is it even four-wheel drive?
No, it's not four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
You weren't listening when I said
that.
You were on your phone.
You threw a lot of info.
I know.
So
I've had three monsters today because I'm not thinking clearly, so I'm probably going to speak very fast.
Let me ask you this. Have you gone to turn the radio down and accidentally slammed it in reverse?
No.
No. Just wait for that.
You know what? That's a thought I hadn't had. You're right. They are like 6 inches apart.
Yeah.
It's like, whoop, right there.
You're going to not take your eyes off the road. You're just going to reach up there to turn the radio down and bam, now what's your
gonna
shit's happen? In reverse.
What's going to happen? Surely it's got a safety on it. You're over something.
It's a rental. Find out what happens.
To be honest, the first thing I said is, well, I pulled it in. I went inside the house and Janine's like, well, how is it? I said, it's a piece of shit. I said, the good thing is, if Mitch and I want to really make some crazy YouTube videos,
this
now
is the one
is
to do it.
Time.
Yeah.
If I bought the insurance. Like, if you use your insurance, they take it off your deductible if you crash it or whatever. Yeah. And she's like, well, it's only $20 a day. I said, give me the fucking insurance. Yeah. I said, I'm going to drive the shit out of this thing.
That's funny.
So we'll see what happens. I keep clipping my mic. God, I got to calm down.
That's good stuff.
It's not good stuff, man. It's been a long week. It hasn't been a week.
It's making lemonade.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
You're trying.
I'm trying.
So it's event week. By the time this podcast comes out,
I will put the YouTube one out tomorrow.
Yeah. So the YouTube version will be out early. The audio version, we may be able to get it out a little early, but
I might be able to do that.
We pulled some strings, and today, for the first time ever at our events, we're going to announce and release. We haven't done this yet. At the time I'm vocalizing this, I haven't even made a post about it yet. But we are going to do virtual tickets for our event. So if you didn't want to take the time and the travel and everything to get to Kansas City, for $49, you can buy a virtual ticket and virtually attend the event.
Yep.
And we may even have a link in the bottom of this show for how to get virtual tickets if we can get the show out fast enough.
I can do that, man.
But if you guys follow us on social media, you'll probably see that happen before the show comes out. So, but no matter which way it goes, we're going to do virtual tickets for the event. So that'll be kind of neat.
I can do that. I can make that happen. I put a link on there.
Yeah.
No worries. No one can hear this right now. So we're talking to no one about us releasing it early.
Yeah.
But for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try to get it out Thursday morning. How about that?
Yeah, we'll try. And for those that don't know the event, we've got David speaking and myself speaking. We've got two other Tradewinds members speaking. But then we have three other guys speaking. One of them, his name is Nick Staten. He owns a company called Wet and Wild Pressure Washing, and he's going to be coming to the event and speaking about how he's used content to grow his business. We have a guy named Chris Zizzo that's going to speak. He has several million followers across all platforms, and he's going to be talking about how to use content to grow your business. And then we've got Roger Wakefield coming to speak at the event, and he is going to be talking about how to use content to grow your business. So the whole theme of the event is using content to grow the business and not becoming an influencer. We're not talking about making money from the content platforms themselves. We're talking about how to use content to get more customers. And you make a lot more money that way than trying to become an influencer. Trust me, I know, because I have a monetized YouTube channel, and it only pays me about $2,000 a month. And don't get me wrong, I won't turn my nose up at $2,000 a month.
No.
But it's not worth all the time, effort, and energy for the $2,000. What it is worth is the results of what we do with the content outside of the $2,000 a month that I get paid from YouTube.
Hey boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
Well, and that's what the event is about. It's about creating your own content and then using that to market, using your own content for your own quote unquote commercials,
right,
or whatever you want to do via social media, or it's whether it's actually making ads through Facebook, whatever, and then using that instead of having to pay a digital marketer to put all that stuff together, paying a videographer, having, you know, all that kind of stuff. You can do a lot of it on your own.
Yeah.
That's the point of the event. I think it's going to be great. I'm actually looking forward to hearing Roger speak for sure.
And the other cool thing is we have some other cool people coming to the event just to visit. We got Jared Williams, who if you're a plumber, you probably know who he is. He does like a plumbing coaching mentorship thing where he'll help plumbing businesses grow. We've also got Tony G, who is a digital marketer in the plumbing realm, coming to speak.
He's not speaking.
To the event to watch everybody speak and listen. So there, it's going to be kind of a little like a plumbing. If you're in the know in plumbing, there's going to be some bigger names there. So if you're in the plumbing realm, you know of the name Boston Plumbing Monsta. He's probably he's kind of a man of the people for plumbers.
Is he coming?
No.
Oh,
he's,
okay. I was like, so, what?
He was one of the first people I invited, and he replied. So he and I have never met in person. We have a mutual friend, and we chat all the time. And I've actually gone live on Instagram with him once. Whenever we decided to make the event about content, I hit him up first. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing March 1st and blah, blah, blah. He said, I'd love to help out any way I can. Let me check my schedule. And he's crazy busy. So he kind of ghosted me for a day or two. I sent him another message, say, hey, you get a chance to check your schedule. He was like, dude, I'm sorry. It took me forever to get back to you. I am out of town that weekend. Otherwise, I would totally do it. And sure enough, just yesterday, I see him upload a picture. He and his wife and his kids are on a beach somewhere.
Must be nice.
It's the vacation. Yeah, he's on vacation this week. So, but he totally would have come too and spoke at the event. So
maybe next time.
Maybe
when we go to Vegas.
Next pretty Vegas awesome trip. Little event. I've already got an idea for what our next event, like the theme of our next event's going to be. We're not obviously not going to talk about that until it's concrete, but. Yeah, he could, if the theme of the next event is what I think it's going to be, then he could fill that role too. So,
yeah,
pretty sweet deal. If you're coming in person, we can't wait to see you. David and I run around like chickens with our heads cut off on the days of the events, but
we will not
hesitate to stop and grab us and introduce yourself and say who you are.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be like... We have enough stuff to do. Like, we won't be able to do all the things that we think we need to do that day.
All the things
not,
we want to do.
Yeah, you're
it
not
just
going.
Never happens.
The most important part of the event for David and I is getting to meet and greet and interact with everybody at the event. We just have a lot of other jobs to do with putting it on. And so you're not going to offend us if you see us speedily walking from one area to another, and if you stop and say hi or whatever and want to take a picture or whatever, like, we're all about that. So it's just we have 1,000 things to do.
Yeah.
At the last event, I think I downed about 13 energy drinks that day. And then that night at dinner, I had the worst cramp I've ever had in my life and damn near passed out.
Yeah,
so,
you were dehydrated as shit. We both were.
Yeah.
I was looking on my phone, a guy, he actually called me. I'm not sure exactly how he got my number. I think it might be on the website. I'm not sure. If it is, I'm going to have to fucking take that thing down. But then he also sent me a message. His name's, if I mess it up, buddy, I'm sorry. Nathaniel Santos. He's coming from California.
Love it.
He wanted to see what we were doing Friday night. He said, hey, I know you on the podcast, you guys have talked about having a, like just a relaxed get together in the hotel. It's not a get together, but I know everyone from TradeWinds will be down in the hotel bar
yep.
and restaurant having dinner. rubbing elbows, all that kind of fun stuff. So if you get in Friday, just go down there. Don't be shy. Yeah. Just ask guys, hey, are you here for the Tradewinds event?
Yeah.
Are you guys here? If they're any of our Tradewinds guys, they'll be like, oh, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Let me get you a beer or whatever.
And if they're not, you're going to meet somebody who's in town for something else.
Yeah.
It's like worst case scenario is they say, no, we're not. But what are you here for?
So I asked the guy. I went and saw the event last Friday, right?
Yep.
His name's Fernando. Super awesome dude. I said, hey, Friday, I said, is the bar usually pretty packed? And he said, well, he said, if there's a bunch of flights coming in and out, yes. He said, because all of the stewardesses.
Oh, is this their hotel?
They like to stay there too. And on Fridays or Saturdays or whenever. Sometimes it's in the middle of the week, Tuesdays, whenever the days fall. He's like, oh, they're always down there drinking too much.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll just let you know, like, if you can get more bartenders or servers or whatever, do it. I said, because these are blue collar guys.
Yeah.
Like, they're not rowdy, but they like to pound a couple of beers.
They know how to drink.
They're on vacation. Yeah. He's like, he looked at me, he goes, do you want to just set up a reception cash bar for Saturday as well? And I said, no. I said, no, we don't. I said, none of them will be paying attention by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, we'll make Friday night, Saturday night. Those are their times.
Yeah.
I said, but make sure you have staff in there Friday night. I said, because they'll all be in there.
Yeah.
So if you're coming on Friday night, Mitch and I will at least be there for a while. I know that.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, so. Yeah.
We're going to set up Friday, and then we're going to try to do as much mingling as we can Friday night. We can't stay out too late Friday night because we have the event Saturday. I will promise everybody this, and I do this at every event. The night of the event, once everything's over, I stay out and hang out with everybody as long as my body can handle it. I don't drink to excess. So it's not a matter of like I stay out until I'm too drunk. It's a matter of like
I'm exhausted
until I have no energy.
Open. Yeah.
And in the first event that we had in Kansas City,
I left.
I did not. You left.
Like 10:30. I'm out, man.
I stayed out till about 1:30 in the morning.
You didn't stay out. They had a bar in the hotel.
I stayed up till about 1:30 in the morning. But David and I live about an hour from where this event is, and so I still had to drive home.
Yeah, not doing that this year.
And so this year, David and I grabbed a couple of rooms at the hotel. So this way we can
stay out, everyone.
A couple of rooms, not a couple of beds in a room. but this way we can stay out a little bit longer and maybe even, you know, enjoy ourselves a little bit more without that, you know, need to have to drive home and everything else.
Yeah, so we're going to wrap this part up. I do want to say one more thing about it. Saturday night, we are having a dinner. It is Tradewinds people only.
Yep.
Because Nate was asking me that. He was like, hey, I heard there's a dinner. I said, I had to tell him, like, dude, it's
members only.
Members only. If
you want to sign up for Tradewinds the day of the event, you can go to the dinner.
I knew you were going to say that, and I was going to say don't say that because I have to have the reservation number in, and I don't want people just to sign up.
If you bump the res for 5 extra, you'll be fine.
If I bump the res for 5, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
CC will be fine with that. It's an Italian restaurant. Apparently, it's really good. So
I sold a couple more event tickets after you told me no more. So, I mean.
Did you?
Yeah. So it is what it is.
I didn't look at the drive sheet.
Yeah.
You've. All right.
I like pushing Dave's buttons. So, you
if
know,
if anyone wants to see Mitch get punched, wait till Saturday night. Yeah. Dave's had 4 Blantons with Dan Bianchi.
I don't want to get punched by Dan Bianchi.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to punch you. I love you. I'm going to have punch you.
I don't mind you punching me, Dan.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Dan's a black belt. I'm saying his placement's probably a little bit more accurate.
Yeah, you're probably right. I love Dan. I don't want to fight Dan. If Dan and I are in a street fight, I'll take my chances. If him and I are like on a mat with rules, there's no way I'd even walk over there. I'd just be way from the other side, be like, hey, buddy.
I don't even know if I'd want to, like.
I'll see you later.
Yeah. I haven't.
I'm dirty. Like, if it's a street fight and it's dirty, I'll do whatever I got to do. So I
haven't locked up with somebody in a bunch of you. Like, I'm rusty. I'd probably get clocked before I even know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough getting older.
Yeah. Like, awareness is just not there.
I want to like pretend like I could swing like I'm 28.
Yeah.
And I probably could for 2.
Yeah.
But not 10.
Yep.
And the next day I'm like having to have Janine help me out of bed because I, you know, feel like I get hit by a Mack truck.
Right.
Ugh. Ugh. Anyways.
All right.
That's the event spiel. What do you want to talk about today, buddy?
So I want to talk about going all in. And what I mean by this is I've observed something over, I'm going to say probably the last 10 years of my career. And it finally kind of all came together a couple of days ago.
Do you mean up to this point now? Like including your own business?
Yes. Like when I was managing departments for other people and our own business and just watching successful people grow and develop and everything else.
Okay.
What I've observed is the most dangerous position to be in is the guy that goes half in.
Non-committal? Yes.
Not necessarily non-committal. So no, like, not, let me show you.
I mean non-committal. I mean not committing to 100% all in.
Yeah. But like this, it's kind of sneaky how this manifests.
Okay. I'm listening.
I haven't rehearsed this. So like this talk may not come out super smooth.
That's fine.
And David had no clue what the topic was until about 2 minutes
ago.
David
never knows what the topic is. That's not true.
So like, let's just say we're all tradesmen, right?
Here.
Go ahead.
No, you're good. So we're all tradesmen. We all get aches and pains and injuries. Mm-hmm. It happens. But what happens? Like, plumbers are notorious for rotator cuffs because all of our work is out front and overhead. Sheet metal, like...
My right one is toast.
HVAC repair techs, maybe not, but HVAC installers, especially ductwork installers, same as plumbers, all their work is out front and overhead.
Yep, my right one is toast.
So what happens? We start getting pain in our shoulder and we start taking some medicine. And then our hands start hurting a little bit and we start taking a little bit more medicine. And then
I'm very curious.
We're inflamed and so we maybe get a little bit of physical therapy, right? However, the fortunate ones tear a rotator cuff.
Ugh.
Okay? And here, continue. This sounds backwards.
Continue.
This sounds backward. You're probably going, what do you mean the fortunate ones tear a rotator? Because like me personally, I've never torn a rotator cuff. My rotator cuffs, both shoulders, got wildly inflamed. And I had to go to physical therapy for it.
Man, mine's partially.
And when I mean wildly inflamed, this girl was like out of high school, in her trade school for becoming a physical therapist. And I'm in my like evaluation at physical therapy and she takes my arm and she puts it in a certain position behind my back. Kind of like when cops arrest you.
Yeah.
They put your hand behind your back and like your elbow is bent and your hand is up on the upper part of your back.
Oh, okay.
Right. It's not down low on your back. It's
hurts,
up high.
Though. Hurts right there.
If you have inflamed rotator cuffs, that's a very painful position. And she said, I'm going to start raising your hand. And I want you to tell me when it hurts. And she did not go slow enough. She was newer in training. She just lifted my hand up.
Fuck this dude.
And the next thing I know, I wake up on the floor of this PT place, this physical therapy place, and they're giving me water. And like, Mr. Schmedley, are you okay? Whatever she did caused me so much pain, I passed out instantaneously. Right? And I'm like, what happened? And they were super apologetic. And she like they asked me ahead of time, like, she's in training. Are you cool with her doing this? This is her first time.
Yeah, you're not a douche.
And no big deal.
You are, but not in that area.
Yeah. And so I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And they were like, well, obviously we know you've got a problem. Like you passed out from the pain, right?
No shit.
But what I'm getting at is I had like weeks of physical therapy to do. And then I had to like retrain my body how to position itself so that I don't inflame my rotator cuffs. Your rotator cuff muscles are very susceptible. Bad posture will cause your rotator cuff muscles to try to carry the load over your delts.
Yeah.
And if your delts are carrying the load, they're fine. Your delts are big muscles.
Yeah.
But your rotator cuffs are small muscles, right?
Well, and it's because you get out. When you're a plumber and HVAC guy, you get out and you lean. You have bad posture. You're over a ladder. It's impossible almost to not strain that area.
So my recovery for that whole thing took twice as long as it would have if I had torn my rotator cuffs.
How long did it take?
About 16 weeks.
My mom... She had rotator cuff surgery, and it took her 6 months.
Okay.
They went in there and cut that thing all up, right?
Yeah.
And she got, when she was done, you're right, it was great. She was like, I haven't felt this great in this long, blah, blah, blah. The problem is some guys don't come back from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think some people, it's your physical fitness and
it's how you go through your therapy because what do guys do? I'm fine.
I'm fine. I don't need therapy.
I'll go out there and stack wood for 4 fucking hours. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, you've just damaged what, you know, they fixed.
Yeah.
And it's not ever going to be right now. Way to go, dumbass.
I mean, I took my PT seriously. And I did all the exercises. I did them at home with that silly rubber band. And they had like doorway exercises where you're like putting pressure against a doorway and shit like that.
Yep, I do those all the time.
And I did it and it fixed it. And then they taught me, okay, once you're fixed, like here's the posture you need to have in order to prevent it in the future. And it's basically like standing upright.
Get to roll your shoulders
chest out,
back.
Chin back, yeah. Roll your shoulders back, roll yep. your shoulders down, yep. you know, things like that. But what I'm getting at is the inflamed... My rotator cuffs didn't go halfway in, or they only went halfway. They didn't go all the way in. And what I mean by that is they didn't let out. They didn't tear. They just got inflamed. It actually would have been better on me if they tore. And keep in mind, this was like 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
That was longer than that.
So I was like 30 at this time. And that's really young to have rotator cuff problems.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would have bounced back really fast from a surgery, but instead it was a long, slow process. Other things that are in this topic of what I'm talking about, people will try, they'll say to themselves, like, I want to get out of debt. And so they start throwing like $50 a month at getting out of debt, right? They don't go all the way in.
No.
They just go part of the way in. And all they do is prolong the agony of being in debt.
Yeah.
And then they get into this mild comfort zone of like $50 a month isn't too big of an impact. I can pay off my debt in $50 a month. And really all they did was just ensure that they're going to be in debt for many, many, many years to come.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of grabbing the bull by the horns and just saying, I'm going all the way in with this.
Right.
I'm going to pay everything. I'm going to pay this one down. I'm going to pay that one down. We're going to get after it.
Yeah. Let me show you. And this literally just came to me 2 seconds ago. This might be the epiphany moment where,
using big words, now.
Like realizing that it's better to just rip the Band-Aid off. So our family dog, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, he had a whole bunch of tumors on him and they were external, like lumps on his skin.
Yeah.
We had them all cut off and he had some big ones up on his chest, like on the outside of his rib cage.
Yeah.
And so they go in there and they cut them all out. And it was a really aggressive surgery. And he came home. They probably sent him. They probably should have kept him overnight, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And he covered Danielle's car in blood when we got him home.
Yeah, he was a nasty fucking mess.
I mean, he bled everywhere.
It was nasty.
And the wounds weren't quite done bleeding by the time they sent him home.
Yeah, he looked like he'd been stabbed about fucking 30
times.
Yeah,
he looked like he lost a knife fight.
It was bad.
And dogs are tough, and so they didn't ever, like, he didn't ever show
no,
pain.
He got around fine.
He got around fine. He's bleeding
like,
all over my
hey,
house.
Hey, what's going up?
But the doctor told us at that time that, yes, he's got, like, these are cancerous, no doubt about it. And with as close as they were to his lungs, like, this will probably be what kills him.
Yeah.
And they said he'll probably live long enough to where you have to cut these tumors out one more time before he goes. And so we're like, okay, cool. And that kind of set, I mean, he was already older at that time. He was probably 8 and he's a big dog. Big dogs don't last long, right? You're not going to get 20 years out of a big dog.
No.
12 to 15,
no,
maybe.
Not. No, I was just thinking about that.
Yeah. And so we kind of set in our minds like, okay, another round of tumors cut out and then that much time again and he'll be gone.
Yeah. You're thinking 2 years, we'll get 2 years. He'll have a great life. And then.
Yeah. And so a couple of weeks ago, he started not doing well. And like we noticed a big decline in his eating and we noticed a big decline in his breathing. He was breathing really shallow and he would pant for no reason.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, it like over through 2 or 3 days, it was like, you know, I wonder if he's got like pneumonia or something. Like he's just not breathing good.
Yeah.
And so he'd had a
couple laboring pretty hard for a while.
And he had a couple more visible tumors coming back.
Yeah.
Not nearly like they were before. And so we went ahead and took him to the doctor and we took him to the vet on a Thursday and the vet says, let's do some x-rays and we're going to see where all these tumors are at. And they were like, he's lost 6 pounds since the last time they had seen him. And we take him there every 2 months for his nail trimmings and they weigh him.
Yeah, they
before
get on
his nail
doggy scale, they walk on, yeah.
And they have to weigh him because they have to know how much anesthesia to give him. Because they, for his nail trim, like, He was not an aggressive dog. The only time he was ever aggressive was if you tried to trim his nails. So we had to have him knocked out to trim his nails.
Yeah.
And so they had to weigh him before they could do the anesthesia. And so they noticed like he lost 6 pounds in 2 months. And for a 100-pound dog to lose 6% of their body weight in 2 months, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. That'd be so, like you losing what?
12 pounds in 2 months.
12 pounds.
That's pretty aggressive. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I can do it, but I'm very intentional about my diet to make it happen.
At that point, your eyes are sucking. You feel bad. Like, you're sickly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And so they said, let's do some x-rays and see. And they said, I got a feeling he's got internal cancer. I got a feeling that you're not seeing a lot of external.
Yeah.
And so they do some x-rays, and his pancreas was covered in tumors. His liver was covered in tumors. And then the tumors were so big in his stomach cavity that his stomach had almost no room to move. And in the back of his lungs were three ribs forward from where they should be.
That's why he couldn't fucking breathe.
And that's why he was shallow breathing.
Yeah.
And, they said
it makes me feel like I can't breathe.
Yeah.
You know,
they said this is really advanced, but he's in good spirits. And they said he could last a day or he could last a year. Okay. He passed away the next day in Danielle's arms.
Yeah. You guys knew that.
No. You know? And so while we were there at that visit, he needed his nails trimmed again. And so they went ahead and did it while we were there. And he always comes out of anesthesia slowly. He's always real groggy and looks like high and drunk that night.
Yeah,
and then the next day, he's just kind of lazy.
Like when you had the colonoscopy and you just laid on the floor for 6 hours.
Yeah. And so, you know, that night, he's super groggy and real lazy and everything else, normal. The next day, he's real out of it, which is normal. All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show. And so he was behaving a little differently, though. Like, he was lazy, but he couldn't get comfortable. He was standing. He was sitting. He wasn't in the same position for longer than 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I told Danielle, I'm like, keep an eye on him. I'm going to go to the gym. And so I'm at the gym for about an hour and a half that day. And she texts me and she's like, he's not doing well. She's like, he won't eat. And
he'll always eat.
And he would always eat a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to go to the vet or I'm going to go to the pet store and I'm going to get some soft dog food, really flavorable, soft dog. Like, I got to get him something to eat.
Yeah.
And so she goes and gets him that and comes back. And she texts me when she comes back and she's like, babe, he's not doing good at all. And I said, do I need to come home from the gym? And like, is this the day? And she said, I don't think so. She says, I think if I can get him to eat something, it might help him out. Maybe his stomach's upset or whatever. And then 15 minutes later, I get another text from her and says, you need to come home. And so I get in the truck, I just quit what I'm doing, and I come straight home. And 5 minutes into the drive home, I'm about 15 minutes from the gym.
Yeah.
5 minutes from the drive home, she calls me sobbing that he's gone.
Yeah, and that's tough too.
And that's tough, but we went from the day before, we were told it could be a day or it could be a year. And it happened the next day. Mother Nature ripped the Band-Aid off for us, right?
Yeah.
We were all thinking, like, he might not make it to summer. If we're lucky, he'll make it to the end of summer, right? Yeah. This might be our last summer with our dog. And he died the next day. And this isn't a sob story. This isn't a sad story or anything else. Danielle and I have realized we are better off that it happened that fast.
Oh yeah, you don't want to. You don't want that thing to drag out for a week.
The
you don't
agony, want him to be at the vet. Drag out, the having to make the decision: do we take him to the vet? Do we have him put down? And all these things, right?
And I've got. You don't want him to be at the vet for 3 days because you're worried about him,
right?
And that's not where he wants to be. No. He wants to be at home,
right?
You know.
And so all of these examples are examples of. The worst place to be is that mild level of discomfort where you can decide it's not that bad, right? And yeah. then we become comfortably numb. That becomes the new norm, and it just is the way it is. Remember back in COVID when they were like, we're going to do a lockdown order for 2 weeks?
Everyone was like, okay.
And everyone's like, it's only 2 weeks, right? Yeah. Well, ironically, like I was so fortunate to be in this. I was at a service call. Right before the lockdowns happened, this was when I was at the company for 7 months before I started our company. And, and so I had already started their plumbing department and I was running service calls for them and we were hiring other guys and then COVID happened. And I'm at a service call at a guy's house where there's a doctor there and he's not a doctor that sees patients. He's a doctor that advises boards of doctors how to run their practice.
He reads papers. He writes papers.
Yes.
He's an overseer.
He's a high level doctor, yeah. like a national doctor, yeah. right? And he was doing a Zoom call. And this was when the news was talking, like COVID was being talked about. They had not done the shutdowns yet. But they were talking, like we were like, this was like a week before the shutdowns. And I overhear him on a Zoom call and he's advising all these other doctors about what's the plan and what's going to happen and all this stuff. And so I get done working on his plumbing and he was done with the Zoom call. And I said, I hope you don't mind me asking. I overheard you in there. It sounds like you know more about this coronavirus thing than like
I do,
than a lot of people do. And he goes, oh yeah, I'm very, very aware.
Yeah,
and
he says, been tracking it from Wuhan.
He says
four weeks before.
He says, I'm the director of a board of advisors for doctors, and our board oversees about 1,000 doctors in the nation.
Oh, fuck.
And so he said, what you heard was me instructing all these other doctors about what's going to happen with the shutdown. And I'm like, okay, so I heard you correctly that it's not like I heard him vividly say it won't be just 2 weeks.
Oh, brutal.
And I'm like, so did I hear you correctly when you said it won't just be 2 weeks? And he goes, yes, you heard me correctly. So he says, what the government does is in the midst of a pandemic, they know the general population can't handle traumatic change. It's not in our nature. If we told the nation we're going to lock down for 6 weeks, they would go bonkers.
Oh, yeah. We'd burn the fucking thing to the ground.
They'd burn the city down. There'd be rioting. There'd be looting, everything.
A person is smart. People are dumb.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he says what the government's decided to do is to tell everybody it's 2 weeks. And then after that 2 weeks, they've become cultured to what a lockdown scenario was like. And towards the end, like middle of that second week, then we break the news to them that it's going to be 2 more weeks. And then now they're in this cycle where we can just extend this as long as we need to. Okay.
That'd be why when they were saying that, I was like, I don't care if it's 2 weeks or not. I'm not sitting in this fucking house.
Right.
Cause I'm like, nope, not happening.
But in is to your point, a person is smart, people are dumb. A society as a whole would collapse with that kind of information. But this podcast and the information we give on this podcast doesn't go to a society. It goes to a massive amount of individuals.
It goes to a select number or a select type of person.
Well, it goes to people that are choosing to receive the podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not the government.
But so the example to learn from here is look at how society handled that. It was catastrophic.
Ugh.
Right? Smart, free thinking
COVID thing. But
well, this isn't about like the COVID bullshit and everything else, but like smart, free thinking individuals were able to recognize there's no way you're going to curb this in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But they're a small voice. Their voice doesn't go far, you know, all those things. And what are they going to, if I disagree with it, what's going to happen? Like not much. I don't, as an individual, I don't have power. Right.
Yeah.
And so, but what I'm getting at is, There are somewhat rules for the mass of society because they physically can't handle reality. And then there's rules for the smaller portion of society that can absolutely handle reality, can handle their own business, and that can make moves forward. And what would have been better, and this never could have happened, and I'm not saying they should have done it this way, but what would have been better is you save the 2 weeks to slow the spread and all that crap for the part of society that can't think for themselves and that needs the media to tell them what to do. But then you come up with a different plan for the part of society that can handle that kind of information, right? And what I mean by that, this is the part of society that manages people, that can handle problems being thrown at them on a whim, that can handle waking up today not knowing what problems are going to be faced with, but they're going to dominate those problems no matter what they are, yeah. Right? Business owners, managers of large teams, you know, higher up leaders, CEOs, and other officers at companies, high ranking officers in the military, all of those things, right?
Yeah, and to be transparent, that's kind of what happened, right? So for everyone, naturally, what happened? People that knew they had to work were fine with it. Worked throughout.
Yeah,
you worked throughout. My wife worked throughout at the hospital.
Yeah,
like the people that could handle the stress and handle the curveballs that were thrown at them on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Because of everyone else's insanity with the lockdown.
Yep.
Like they were able to adapt quickly. And allow society to still, quote unquote, function at a reasonable level.
Right.
Like people were still getting the necessities done. You know, things were happening. Those people always seem to rise to the top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
even though someone didn't, like you were saying, come to them and say, hey, we know that you guys have your shit together. This is how this is going to work.
Right.
They just took it upon themselves and said, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I know what to do here. I'm not going to just be the standard like everyone else and just sit in my apartment.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we're going to get stuff done.
Yeah.
Just like you were saying, business owners, that's just what they do.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, today what happened? Well, we had two call-ins. We had the big job cancel, but we also have 78 service calls that came in at the same time. What are we going to do?
Right.
And they adapt.
Oh, and Bob crashed his truck.
Yeah. And they adapt and overcome.
Right.
Okay. What are we going to do? And all of the, and I don't want to say followers, but that's what I'm going to say. Look to that person. They're all standing in the office. You got four girls answering the phones. They all turn around, look at you and go, what are we going to do?
Right.
And it's your job in that instance to let's put something together. It may not be perfect, but we've got to move forward. Let's get after it and decide.
And so to your point on the leadership side of things, they're looking for leaders for what's an example to do. And I have learned this the hard way through my leadership career. So I've been in leadership roles for about 15 years now. 5 years with my own company. Maybe 17 years in leadership roles. 5 years with my own company and then about 10 to 12 years with other companies that I've been at. And when I became a leader in a company and was like announced the manager, the leader or whatever, I thought I could coddle guys to success. I thought like, well, you're not doing the greatest. If we can just help this little bit here or there, that would help. And I went for years with very few results with that. And it wasn't until I started being a lot more stern and a lot more forceful and skipping the coddling completely and just being very blunt and saying, that's wrong. This is right. Do it this way. And it's not do it this way because it's my way. It's do it this way because this is the way that's the most successful. I don't even care whose way it is. This is the way that's the most successful, right?
Yeah.
Ripping the Band-Aid off and just calling it for what it is and immediately drastically changing the direction is the best way to go.
Yeah. Okay? And you're talking about honesty.
Yes.
Really is what you like.
Candor.
Straightforwardness.
Yeah.
Guys, this is how it's got to be. Now, you're not saying, how do I say this? You're not saying just go out there and be an asshole because coddling guys didn't work. There's a happy medium.
Yes.
There, but that happy medium is being transparent and being honest and being straightforward. Like, hey, this is what has to happen here.
Yeah.
And then if there's one guy that needs a little more stern, you do that on the side.
Right.
If there's one guy that needs a little more care, you do that on the side. Not as a leader standing in front of 15 people.
Right.
We're not going all hardline. We're not going all soft. There's got to be middle ground in there somewhere.
You know what I mean? You got to have tact with how you do it. But in other words, you got to build the guy up by while telling him that everything he's doing is wrong.
Yeah. And that's a difficult thing to
do. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. That's a learned skill for sure.
Yeah. So another example of this, if you're still having a hard grasp at like playing in the middle is not doing anybody any favors, is there's a lot of government assistance programs out there where you realize some of these people, until they choose to get their shit in gear, are forever indentured into the government assistance programs.
Yeah.
They've
it's
learned
just enough to get by.
Yes. They've learned how to survive on SNAP. They've learned just how, like, because your SNAP cards now, you can actually do a cash withdrawal of some amount, right? Okay. And so they'll go buy their vegetables and their approved foods on their SNAP card, and then they do a cash withdrawal.
And then buy cigarettes.
And then they go buy their non-approved stuff with the cash withdrawal.
Yeah.
And
which is horseshit.
The SNAP program would benefit greatly if it reduced its benefits. And you're going to have a lot of outcry. Like, this is a touchy subject. You're going to have a lot of people saying you can't reduce the benefits because this one person might not get it or whatever. But as a whole, it's better to rip the Band-Aid off, right? It's kind of like a husband and wife where one of the spouses is committing infidelity and the other one looks at it like...
Right turn, okay.
Well,
I'm following you. Continue.
One person's cheating and the other person's like, well, it's not the best of scenarios, but it's better than divorce. No, you may think it's better than divorce, but it's I can promise you for the long-term happiness of you, your life and your kids, it's better to rip the Band-Aid off, get divorced and start fresh.
I'm not going to say that.
Right.
Like, I agree with you on a lot of things. I'm not agreeing with that.
Well, what I guess what I'm saying, like, I'm not saying it's okay, like if there's infidelity, get divorced. I understand. There's a lot of people that are in bad relationships where they keep finding the good and keep finding reasons to stay when they should really find reasons to leave.
Yeah.
Okay.
The spousal abuse, that's a better example.
Yeah.
Like, those are the ones that people, like, there is no reason for you to stay there.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, those are the...
And so, like, we have this weird thing internally that happens in all of us where we allow our comfort zone to cripple our ability to succeed. In other words,
that's a great way to say that.
There's a lot of people listening to this show that are working for somebody else, making six figures a year, and they're like, if I start my own company, I might have to take a pay cut. And they're not going to start their own company because of the momentary discomfort of a pay cut, right? Or the momentary discomfort of having to find your own insurance. Or the momentary discomfort of the unknowns of where next week's jobs are going to come from. But I think all of this came to a head, believe it or not, I think all of this came to a head from Doge.
What?
The Department of Government Efficiency,
I know
right?
what Doge is.
So...
You mean in your mind?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So what
you
I'm
getting... lost me for half a second.
What
there.
I'm getting at is there's a lot of government employees right now that are losing their jobs.
Yeah.
Instead of watching your company that's on a government contract or you're a direct government employee, either which, instead of watching your company, you know, a guy disappears, two more guys disappear, consultants come in, three more guys disappear, and you're watching this slow erosion of your company for a year.
Yeah.
You would be better off to be terminated day one. And that gives you a full year head start
to figure it out,
to advance your career in a different direction. Yeah. Right. So is uncomfortable as it may be to watch these government employees lose their jobs, Doge is actually doing them a favor. And this kind of stems from a mentor of mine told me a long time ago, I was on the fence about firing a guy. And this guy said you've already decided he's not the best for our company. And I said, you're right. Every day you keep him on staff here, you are robbing him of a potential life-changing career for him somewhere else. In other words,
that's an interesting way to think about it.
He said, you're not happy with him here. He's not happy here. Both of you guys are uncomfortable. One of you guys needs to shit or get off the
you're
pot.
You're both chicken shit.
One of you guys needs to rip the Band-Aid off and either fire him or he quits.
Yeah.
And he'll move on. Like, humans are resilient, right? We like to act like Doge costing all these people their jobs like it's going to kill them. No.
Yeah.
And if it does kill them, they were already in a very unstable position living paycheck to paycheck before this, right? Their behaviors before this led to that.
Yeah.
Right.
I like the Doge analogy as far as.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
What I equate it to is all of these people getting fired, all of these job changes. If you are really great at your job and there is no one wants to fire you, you'll have a job immediately.
Yes.
The people that aren't going to get hired back are losers.
Yes.
A lot of them. Now there will be some that fall between the cracks that are great and maybe should have kept their job. They'll find another job somewhere else because they're go-getters.
Yeah.
The problem with the government is they pay people to skate by.
Yes.
And they overstaff so much
yes.
in certain areas, not all of them, in certain areas, and we're just throwing money away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The cream will rise to the top.
Yeah.
What I antiquate what you were talking about with like the Tradewinds guys. The ones that are one-man show or two-man show and they're ready to make that step, the next step, but they don't want to get insurance for their employees.
Right.
They don't want to pay for retirement. And they hang up on that one little thing that is literally the catapult to their next level because they're either afraid.
Yeah.
Or they think it costs too much money. And so they don't even... And I'm not bashing our guys, I will admit, they're all go-getters. But they will allow that one thing to hold them back.
Yeah.
And it's just...
And to be fair, you're only referencing the Tradewinds guys because that's what our experience with is
yes.
with. But
yes.
this is a common phenomenon, Tradewinds or not, this is a common phenomenon with anybody who is in charge of their own development.
Yeah.
Any small
business owner, maybe I shouldn't have said Tradewinds guys.
You're fine.
Any small business owner that is like, okay, I'm going to hire 3 mechanics. It's just been me in this mechanic shop. I'm sick of it. It sucks. I have 2 guys that'll come on board, but I got to pay their fucking insurance and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
No, that's not really it. Because if they make the money that you're making now, they'll cover that $1,500 a month that it's going to cost them for insurance or cost you for insurance. That is a drop in the bucket compared to the amount of revenue that you're bringing in.
Yeah.
That's the talk we have with the guys. Guys, it's not that much money. What's funny is they'll bring that stuff up and not know because they haven't even looked at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, a lot of times
they won't
people
do the research because they're, like I said before, they're worried, they're scared and but they're allowing that one thing to hold them back. You know, they're using it as an excuse.
Yeah. A lot of times people will look at reasons not to do something instead of reasons to do something. Right.
Yeah.
I talked about this on a recent show where I had a former employee. This was years and years ago before I started our company. And this guy would love to take random days off with his daughter. And he was a single father. So I don't want to
talk about this just a little bit.
Yeah. I don't want to knock single fathers here. But I mean, it was an excessive number of days off. It was more than his PTO allowed. And he would be like, hey, I want to take my daughter. You know, I've got her for the weekend. I want to take her to the Omaha Zoo. So I need Friday off. Hey, I've got my daughter for the weekend. I want to take her here and want to take her there. And ultimately, he was not able to fulfill his role in the company because he was wanting to take so much time with his daughter.
Not at Smedley. Okay.
At the place he used to work. And it's kind of a hard line and it's kind of a gray area. And I definitely don't want to step on somebody's want or desire to be a good dad, right? However, when it comes to like one of your jobs of being a good father is showing your kids work ethic and showing your kids that we have to put in the time at work in order to afford and enjoy the time outside of work.
I was going to say, if you're not working, you're not making money, I can't take you anywhere.
Yeah. And so
let's lead by example here, people.
So I had an HR guy at that company. He was actually a Native American Indian and like full into his heritage. Really cool guy to talk to. When he started, really enamoring guy to talk to.
My great-great-grandmother was full-blood Cherokee. I wish that I was more involved in it.
I don't know.
And knew how to like get like what to do and how to get your card and all that kind of stuff. And I'm scared to death to go on the 23andMe. What's the one? Is it 23andMe where they take your DNA and they do it and then you can take your DNA and get your card because they maybe they'll give me some land in Arizona or Utah. That'd be awesome.
So he's a Navajo Indian.
Okay. I was Cherokee.
I am. Ironically, as a child growing up, we at one of our church trips that we went on, we visited a place in New Mexico called Shiprock.
A reservation?
It's a reservation. Yeah,
I bet it's cool as
hell. And it's this rock that rises up out of the earth like a spaceship. It's kind of a weird formation. Kind of like Devil's Tower.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I haven't been to either.
Okay. Well, this was on an Indian reservation, and we went there as a church group and like did our little musical performance for them and everything else. Well, that's where this guy grew up. There's a good chance.
That's crazy. He was there.
And we're the same age. There's a good chance
that you met the guy. That's nuts.
Well, I don't know if I would have met him, but there's a good chance. Like he said all the time, we had churches coming in and doing this kind of thing, and he didn't remember ours. But there's a good chance, like we met, 20 years prior to us actually meeting in a career. But
the world's smaller than we think it is.
But he's a very philosophical guy, a very mental guy, very
spiritual,
big into his mind. Right.
I love it.
And he mentioned, so I was navigating, he was our HR guy, and I was navigating with him how to handle this employee. I'm like, he keeps calling out, he keeps taking these random days off and all this stuff. And he was like, well, based off the laws in our state, like you can terminate him for anything you want, but here's what I would say to him. And he said, tell him that you're seeing him oftentimes finding reasons not to work because of his daughter. You need to let him know that there's times where he needs to be working because of his daughter, right? And it like he had a whole lot more words into it than that.
Oh, I'm sure. But that's still good, though.
But essentially, it's like part of raising good daughters is showing them the work ethic that we have to go to work every day, right? I do it with my kids. Like literally 2 minutes before you came over today, you noticed my truck's backed in the driveway with a dump trailer full of dirt, right?
Yeah.
We got in the driveway 2 minutes before you showed up here. And that was, I got the call, like I was ready, but I got the call that my guys needed dirt removed from a job. And I was up here, I was actually up here in the office doing work on a Zoom call.
I'm out.
That call. And so I texted him and I said, I'll be leaving in 15 minutes. And I go downstairs. I had lost track of time. I didn't realize Mason was home from school. I just told Mason flat out. I said, hey, get your shoes on. We got to go. He didn't question. He's like, okay, where are we going? And I said, I need you to back the truck up and hook it up to the trailer. We got to go get dirt. He doesn't question. He just says, okay.
Yeah.
And it's because he's watched me for years do what it takes to get the job. Like I can bitch about work all I want, but I still do it.
You know what's crazy? I got here today and we were in the living room. I said, Mason, help me get this stuff out of the truck. Okay.
Okay. He knows. Yeah. So Mason is a very worker oriented person.
He's work-oriented.
And so he just knows that like you can bitch about it all you want, but it's still got to get done.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I just socked up and I did it. And that's me teaching my kids, like I can not like work, but I still have to do it. Yeah. Right. And so now I've brought my kids into it where they're getting to learn by the example of like work isn't always fun. But you got
to
do it.
Layla and I have that talk all the time.
Yeah.
Especially in the mornings. Dad, I'm tired. I don't want to go to school. And we have this thing. Our saying is we all have to do things we don't want to do.
Yep.
But it helps us in the future. Like well, that's kind of like our little family motto.
Yep.
And when I say it to her, she's like, oh, Dad.
Yep.
But she says, okay. And, you know, she's 11. So, but she gets up and when she doesn't want to go to practice and I say that.
Yep.
I say, do you want to play with your friends and still do soccer? Well, yeah. Well,
we gotta go to practice.
We gotta go to practice, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And she, you know, she's getting over the complaining part, you know, but it's, you know, it's just as parents, that may be one of our top 10 jobs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is to teach them that Nothing gets done without work.
Yeah.
If we were rich and at home and had our own farm and had our own animals and all that stuff, that's just as much, if not more work, than going to a job every day.
Well, and a lot of people think the rich don't work.
No.
They do. They just make it look so easy that it appears that they don't. Right? So
that's
I'm not talking about the generational wealth. I'm not talking about the people that have, like, I'm talking about the guys that are very successful. And everyone likes to hate on them, like, well, if I had your money, it'd be different, right? No, it's you would, if to get my, like, I had this,
I have a great example of this. When we went skiing, day two or three, I had to sit in the house
and do work
until noon. Because the accountant's asking for information. Mm-hmm. We can't pull the stuff off a Stripe. My brother went with us. Him and I, what did we do?
You worked.
You gave up
a day of skiing and
then
you worked.
It was half a day. Yep. We got out of there at noon. We literally pulled up two laptops and him and I sat there in the dining room and worked.
Yep.
Mason texts me, hey, your son, hey, what are you guys doing? Are you guys not coming out? Dude, I got to get work done. I got to get work done, this and that. He even asked me, said, hey, is there anything dad can do? He wants to know, do you need some help? Nope, this is on my end.
Yep.
This is my fault. It wasn't a fault, but like this is...
This is your role.
This is my role. I got it. No worries.
Yeah.
But people will say, oh, you got to go on a ski trip and you got to do this and you got to do that and blah, blah, blah. Both of us were on our phones at night for work. You were doing sales stuff through social media. I literally lost maybe a day and a full day in between on my computer. That's what it takes.
Yeah.
You cannot, if you really want to get to the next level, and I know we're getting a little off topic. If you really want to get to the next level, there is no time frame when you're going to work.
Right.
Once in a while, you can skate out for 3 days and absolutely do nothing.
Yeah.
But if you're ever gone for more than 3 days, you're working at least a little bit.
Yeah.
Phone calls, digital meetings, emails. You're always doing something. And that's what it takes to get there. It just is what it is.
It's funny you mentioned the three-day thing because Danielle and I have taken a liking to just her and I, nobody else, shooting down to Mexico for 3 days.
3 days is about the max.
It's 3 days, two nights, right? Yeah. It's nothing crazy, but it's enough for us to break away and not work while we're there. And come back, right? And it's kind of like my guys will take a week off of work. And this is, it's so funny because this is the duality of things. My guys will take a week off of work. They won't answer their phone. Like they are 1,000% checked out from work. And I'm happy for it. I'm not griping at all.
They've
earned it.
No, they're employees. And as an employee, you get that perk.
Yes.
That's why you're an employee and not a business owner.
Yeah. But meanwhile,
that's the difference there.
Like while we were on the ski trip, yes, I was handling sales calls for Tradewinds and stuff for the Void and things like that. But I'm also handling calls from my guys about the plumbing company, right?
100%.
I don't want to act like I'm complaining. That's what it takes to do that, right? The 3 day thing in Mexico is like when Danielle and I shoot down there for 3 days. It's like, no, I can go 3 days.
Yeah, three days is the max.
I see the schedule out for 3 days. Like, I got it, right?
Yeah.
But you're right. As a business owner, vacations are kind of a weird thing because it's like a hybrid vacation. You're working while you're vacating, right?
Vacating. That's not the right
vacating?
Word.
Vacating?
No, vacating means you're leaving something. Vacationing.
Well, you're vacating.
No, yeah, vacationing.
Okay. Vacationing, whatever. Anyway, so...
I love you.
And I don't want to act like, oh, woe is me. I had to do a little work on vacation. But what
grateful,
I'm saying is, I'm happy to do it.
It's not work to you. When you find something that you...
When you're passionate about something, it's not work.
When you love something and it's part of who you are and you're making money at it, people think that's work, but it's not work.
Yeah.
It's your purpose. It's just, it's different, you know?
Yeah. Ultimately... If you're struggling with anything, you can't just go half-assed into it. You got to go all the way.
Yeah.
And it's so ironic. I had already chosen this to be today's topic for the podcast. And we had somebody reach out to us on Tradewinds Facebook Messenger this morning. I feel it came in overnight. I woke up
scammy thing.
No, we get
that
those enough.
That was on the board.
Yeah.
A lot of scam shit.
Yeah. So we had somebody reach out to us on Facebook Messenger and they said, hey, I have an electrical company and I want to, do you guys help electricians? And I want to talk to you. And I said, as I do with all of them, I say, do you have time today for a phone call so I can learn more about your business? In other words, I'm not going to even pitch Tradewinds to you until I learn about your business and I think I can help you. Right.
Yeah.
And so we set up for a phone call today at 2:45, ended up pushing it back to 3 because I was on another call that went long. So I call him up. Literally, I'm on the phone with him while Mason's driving my truck, because Mason's a permit driver. He doesn't have his license yet. He's driving my truck to this job to go get this dirt. Yeah. And I'm on the phone with this Tradewinds guy.
How do I get to be a part of this chauffeur service? I need a chauffeur.
Yeah. And so the more I learn about this guy, he's not in business yet. He's like straddling that line between side work. Like, he has a W-2. He does about $3,000 to $5,000 a month in side work.
That's significant.
And he's telling himself, like, if I could just do $5,000 a month consistently, I would leave my job and do side work.
He doesn't want to take that step back.
I told him flat out. I said, that's a dangerous position to be in. And I don't know if I told him this was going to be the topic. He's listened to all of our shows, by the way.
Oh, really? What's his name?
I don't want to name drop him.
Give
because
me his first name.
I don't even want to do that. He'll know.
I was going to say hello. Well, you know what? Fuck you then.
Say hello. But
okay. Hello. Yeah. What the hell's the matter
but
with you?
Like, he's just stuck in that natural position of, we tell ourselves, like he's telling himself, if I can do $5,000 a month consistently with side work, well, then I'll do it. Well, what happens is he does $3,000 a month, and then he does $4,000 a month, and then he has his first month at 5.
He's like, yeah.
And then he's like, all right, I'll do another month or two of this, and then I'll quit. And then after a month or two of that, he's going, well, this is pretty sweet. Because I choose to do the side work. Yeah. I've got my main job to cover my benefits and my security.
You tell him to save his money for taxes.
And then you sock into that comfort zone, yeah. Right? And so I told him flat out. I said, this isn't me bragging. This isn't me saying I'm better than anybody else because I did it this way. But I did zero side work before starting my company because I put myself in a zero options position. I'm walking away from my W-2. I have zero income. And the only way this business is going to work is if I work it. Right?
Yeah.
In other words, I didn't do this whole, I'm going to put my toe in the water. I'm going to go half in. I'm going to do side work and my main job, get the best of both worlds. And it truly is like the best of your main job. You got the benefits and the security, the best of the side work. You can take and pick and choose and everything else. But look at the long time life of that person. They're burning the candle at both ends. Yeah, they're not happy.
It's not sustainable.
Right.
You can't do it. You just don't have it. In your 20s, okay, yeah, fine. You hit 30. Sorry, dog.
Well, and even outside of that, over. You're not happy because you're constantly going, I wish I could quit my main job for this. I wish I could turn this into something. But then you shoot yourself in the foot because you keep moving the goalposts. Because
you got up and went to work the next day.
Right. Exactly.
I know. It's just funny.
And so,
irony.
A lot of people think I'm bragging when I say I didn't do side work before I started my company. But it had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with, I knew, keep in mind, I was 38 when I started our company. I knew after that many, I was 19 years in the trade before then. I knew that if I had a comfort zone and tried to straddle this side work and real work and everything else,
yeah. Well, that's your age.
I knew I would never actually take the leap and start my own company.
Yeah.
I knew I had to rip the Band-Aid off, put myself in the incredibly uncomfortable position and figure it the fuck out, right? And I credit my success to that. Keep it so, like, if you're newly listening to this show, I borrowed $30,000 from myself to start my own company, and I paid that back in 3 months.
Yeah.
And that was because I was locked in. Zero options mentality. I have no other option other than to succeed. Literally, the only other option is to fold this business up that I just started and go back to working for somebody else.
Yeah.
And if that's your only other option, you will succeed. If you try to tiptoe around in it, you won't succeed.
Yes. People are so... Don't let the fear of having to go back to work stop you.
Right.
What's the worst thing that happened? You went back to the same thing you were doing?
That provided for you for 19 years?
Relax.
Right.
Go back and listen to episodes 1 through 9.
Yep.
Save your fucking money up. If you're super nervous, save 6 months of expenses up and start.
Right. Just go.
Like, but to your point, and I know we're going to wrap up, we're at an hour and 11 here, but don't half-ass it.
Right, right.
Do not think that you can slow. I love the slow walk people try to convince themselves of. Like you were saying, I want to make $1,000 this month. I'm going to make $2,000 next month. I'm going to get my client base together before I go out on my own. You can't get a client base without working.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you spend half of your time at work and half on your side gig, your clientele base will grow half as slow.
Right.
It doesn't work.
The fastest way to grow your client base is to go out there and do a whole solid week of work by yourself, do amazing work, and then show your customers the importance of recommending you to their family and friends. And now you take those 5 or 10 clients from your first week of work and you turn it into 5 or 10 next week. And then you turn it into 10 or 12 the following week, and then 12 or 15 the following week.
Yeah. I'm going to use, I don't know if we've ever used Aaron Benoit as an example on this show. He moved from California to Tennessee with his family and started a plumbing company there, not knowing anyone.
He had a plumbing company in California.
Yep.
He's 50-50 partners with somebody in California.
It's mostly commercial.
Yep.
They moved to Tennessee and just started.
Yep.
Did he have his money saved up? Of course he did. He's not an idiot. Did he have a plan in place? Yes.
Well, hold on. The money. So that was a question on this phone call today. As I was telling the guy, rip the Band-Aid off. Just make, like, find a start date and stick to it. And he goes, well, how much money did you have saved up? And I'm like, everybody's finances are different. I had zero money saved up. I got a home equity line of credit. I borrowed against the equity of my house. It was a $70,000 home equity line of credit, $75,000 home equity line of credit.
Yeah.
But it operates like a credit card. I pulled $30,000 out to start my company, and I paid it back in full in 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had no savings. Literally, I had, like, my savings was the $30,000 line of credit. Like, don't get me wrong. I have retirement. I have other, like, when I say I have no savings, I was not using my savings to start my company. And those are those things that people do to half asset.
Yeah.
Well, when my savings gets to 40 grand, I'll start my company. Well, when my savings gets to 50 grand, I'll start my company. Well, when I'm not living paycheck to paycheck, I'll start my company. Guess what?
We all live paycheck to paycheck.
We all live paycheck to paycheck. Sort of. And if you're living paycheck to paycheck now and figuring the fuck out, just imagine what you're going to do when you start your own company.
Yeah.
If you're living paycheck to paycheck right now, you have the grit and the determination to figure out how to make it to the next payday.
Yeah.
You have the grit and determination to figure it out how to make it to the next payroll.
Yeah.
You have the grit and determination to figure out how to pay your parts supplier and keep the event moving forward in your business.
Yeah.
Right? But so many people have all of these rules built in their head, and they're fake rules. Like, there are no rules to starting a business. None.
No.
But they have these rules in their head of, like, well, I got to have 6 months saved before I can start a business. Well, that'd be nice. But
if that's what your comfort level is.
Right.
Yeah. But that doesn't necessarily mean, but the thing is, people say that and then they don't save for it.
Right.
You know, they don't get there. My point with Aaron was he moved across the country, didn't know anyone, and started further behind the eight ball than, say, you did here. You know people here. You know the social media platform here.
Yeah.
You know, you have all of this knowledge of the area to start.
Yeah.
And you know, okay, I want to focus in this area or this area, this area. That guy did it without knowing any of that stuff.
Right.
So if you think that, it's going to be so hard. Nah.
It's not.
Aaron did it. It didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
It was like, holy shit, dude.
New to town. New nobody.
Let's get it.
Has a skill.
Yeah.
And just put the nose to the grindstone. Zero options mentality. I will figure it out.
Yeah.
And now he's adding trucks.
He's a great inspiration.
Yeah. I want to leave with one other great inspiration.
You know, we talked about making these 45 to 50 minutes. We're an hour and 16. Can we wrap this up?
So I want to leave with one other great inspiration. There is a guy, chances are you've heard of him. His name is Cletus McFarland. Okay. That's his internet name. His real name is Garrett Mitchell. But his internet persona is Cletus McFarland, and, he does YouTube stuff with cars. Okay. He'll take cars and make them super fast and make YouTube videos out of it and all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
a couple of years ago. So he has big dreams and big aspirations, and he knows that the only way you're going to get those is if you go all in, right? And so he was kind of nearing the limits of what he could do in his shop that he was at, in his certain level of YouTube performance and everything else. And the opportunity came up for him to buy a drag strip in Bradenton, Florida. Okay?
Dude.
It was a rundown drag strip in Bradenton, Florida.
Bradenton's a high money area, too. Yeah.
And so he sold everything he had to buy the drag strip. He sold his house.
Damn.
He had an exotic Porsche. He sold
it's a Porsche.
Everything yeah. he had. Okay. In other words, he went all in.
Yeah.
He buys he sold everything he had just to come up with the down payment to buy the drag strip.
And then had to go back to work.
Okay. And then he has to go back to work and make the payments on the drag strip. And he doesn't even have a house to live in anymore. Okay.
He's living sold at his the drag house. Strip, living in a cot.
So he puts an event together and he calls it the Freedom 500.
Okay. I like the name.
It is a race where he buys all these used Crown Vicks from Facebook Marketplace.
I love Crown Vicks.
And he sends Joe novices Mercury. To experts out on his racetrack, and they're notable people. Some of them are NASCAR drivers. Some of them are other YouTube personalities. Travis Pastrana, I think, was at one of them.
Joe Mercury Marauder, sneak it in.
And so he gets all of these high-name people, and he's going to do this event called the Freedom 500. And he's going to put it on YouTube, and he's charging like $49.99 a ticket or a view, like pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't know if his servers can even handle this. Like, he thinks they can, but he's not 100% sure. He doesn't know how many people are going to buy tickets to watch it and all of this stuff.
Okay, well, it'd be YouTube servers, but okay. I like it.
At $49.99, let me do the math here real quick, because I'm remembering all of the things, but hold on. Oops. 3, 4. There we go. Divided by $49.99. Let's just go 50. Divided by 50. Okay.
Oh, so you done? Okay.
He uses his YouTube channel and social media marketing and all this other stuff, and he sells 68,000 tickets on pay-per-view at $50 a piece to this
race.
Freedom 5 to watch everyday people and professionals race everyday cars.
Did he have like a whole
on a racetrack
HD cameras, or was it just like one weird?
Well,
camera?
he's got a ton of HD cameras because he does a lot on YouTube.
Oh, okay, right? Gotcha. Okay,
$3.4 million was the take.
That's a lot of jack.
He bought the drag strip for under $2 million.
Oh, so he paid it off in one whack.
Well, I'm sure pay-per-view gets their cut. I'm sure he's got a ton of production costs and everything else.
That's probably true.
But what I'm saying is he went all in. And the only way this was going to work, he couldn't have bought the drag strip unless he went all in. He had to sell everything he had to buy the drag strip.
Yeah.
And then it pays off, right? And so what I'm getting at is, like, history is a really good proof of when you go all in with the right mindset and the right vision, shit works out in your favor. Fuck, the Boston Tea Party was America as a society going all in and saying fuck you to Britain and France, right? So, like, all of that stuff was literally the ability to just go all in.
Yeah.
And if you want success, you got to go all in. And if you're not willing to go all in, fuck any success.
Don't waste your time.
Don't bitch about not being successful, right? Don't ever use the whole must be nice. I'm sure Garrett Mitchell has a lot of haters. Must be nice.
Yeah.
Bitch, are you willing to sell your car and your house and move your entire family into an RV and sell everything you have for your dream? Then I don't want to hear must be nice.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, he got lucky and it took off. No.
No, he didn't get lucky.
He literally sold everything he fucking owned.
Calculated risk. Right? My problem with calculated risks is I'm bad at math.
Well, you are bad at math. We're not going to talk about what you spent on TradeWinds the other day.
Yeah.
Because you're bad
today,
at math.
Today. It's not bad at math. Bad at math is just surprised by a cost of something.
Today.
We thought something was going to cost $200. It cost $1,000.
We didn't think shit. What were we talking about?
being bad at math and going all in.
Oh, going all in. Like, don't, if you're not willing to make all of those sacrifices, it doesn't matter how right. it worked out for someone else.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay? It just doesn't.
There's a lot of people right now bitching about losing their job from all these Doge cuts. There's a lot of people bitching about other people losing their jobs from this Doge cut. But ultimately, if you're working for somebody else, you're at risk of losing your job every day. It doesn't matter if you work for the government or anything else. Yeah. The only way to have complete and total control over your life is to start your own business. And I'm not saying everybody needs that, right? The world needs employees, and yeah. there are a lot of people that just want to be employees, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, don't be an employee that's not willing to go all in on themselves. Don't be an employee looking at an employer and saying, must be nice. Because I guarantee you that employer is going through more bullshit and going all in more times yeah. than you are, right?
Yeah.
Literally just last week, I found out that we're being sued in our plumbing company. And
oh,
it's over.
Shit.
It's bull. Like, I'm not even concerned about it at all, right? But I let the guy that was on responsible for this job where we're being sued over, I let him know straight up. I told him straight out, like, I don't think of you any different way. You did everything right. You did everything textbook. Nothing you could have done differently. This is a bullshit thing, and we're gonna win it. I've won this type of case before. We'll win this one again. I'm not worried about it at all.
Yeah.
And it's that level of confidence that your employees need to see in you.
Yeah.
They need to see that you're willing to go all in, right?
Yeah.
And I'm bringing in, I haven't brought in a lawyer yet. I brought in my insurance company. I'll bring in a lawyer if I have to. But like, imagine when this is all said and done and we win this case, imagine the loyalty and the respect that my guy's going to have for me, that on a job he was on, now we're sued over it and I win it. And never once yeah. did I say, oh man, look what you got me into now, no. right?
That's not what a leader does.
Every time I'm like, you did everything perfect. I got you.
Yeah.
You did your job. Now it's time for me to do mine.
God, it wasn't the new guy, was it?
It is the new guy,
oh,
ironically.
Oh man.
Yeah. But he did everything perfect. And then after the fact, I'm learning of more stuff he did perfect. Like, it's fucking awesome, right?
No, it's not. It's awesome, his work. It's not awesome, the situation. You know what? Next podcast,
we can maybe talk about it a little bit.
We'll have to wait until it's
over. We probably got to wait until it's over so we have the full picture of everything. But
yeah. You're probably right.
One final tiny example.
Didn't you just say that?
I know.
20 fucking minutes ago?
So we sell a price book through Tradewinds. We have a price book for plumbing and a price book for HVAC. I'm not bragging. I'm being straight honest and candid. It is the best price book for the money. Nowhere else can you spend $249 and get a complete turnkey price book for your business for plumbing or HVAC and never spend a dime more.
Do you know, I'm knocking on wood here. Do you know how many people have called and said, I want my money back?
None. So this is what I was going to tell you before we started the show, and I'm just going to tell you now.
Okay.
I had a guy messaged us over the weekend with questions about the price book. And I can't
Did
remember.
Did it come through email?
I think it came through email.
I saw it.
And this was on a Sunday. Okay. I think he emailed in Saturday night. I got the email Sunday morning. And as I do with all emails, yes, do you have time for a phone call today? It doesn't matter
yeah.
the day.
Yeah.
So here we are
Mitch
on a Sunday.
Mitchell always calls.
Right.
When I tell people in the stuff, hey, I'll even make Mitch call you. He will call you the fucking day of.
Yeah.
Because he's insane.
And
but
so
go ahead.
He messages, and I get the message. I get the email on a Sunday, and I say, do you have time for a phone call today? He says, sure. And so I call him. And I can tell immediately out of the gate, he's not all that computer savvy. He's probably a really good plumber, but he doesn't know anything about business.
Oh, implementation
okay?
guy.
And okay. And so he's asking about the price book. He's currently with House Call Pro, and he's currently using Profit Rhino, and he's not happy with either. And I'm like, dude, we even include a tutorial video with exactly how to upload our price book into House Call Pro. Yeah. Hundreds of people have bought it. Hundreds of people love it.
Yeah.
Hundreds of people have had no issues.
It just works.
Well, this particular gentleman is not computer savvy. He doesn't know anything about Excel. He doesn't know anything about computers.
Mm.
And he's trying to undertake this task on his own.
And has he already bought the book at this point?
He hadn't bought it yet.
Okay.
But before he even bought it, I told him we offer an implementation service as well where we will work the book for you and we will import it into your CRM for you.
We probably need to put that on the website now.
Yeah.
We're selling a few more.
I said we don't.
Do
oh, it's not on the website. You have to tell me up front. I told him what it costs. It's not cheap. It's $500.
Yeah, it's not cheap because it takes fucking a long time.
Right. But in the end all be all, So you've spent a total of $750. You spent $250 on the book and $500 to have it implemented. Yeah. For $750, you have a price book imported into your system.
Yeah. Ready to go.
That will take you into the millions of dollars a year in revenue.
Yeah.
This same price book I've used at the $8 million a year level. Okay. Yeah. So this guy, he was like, well, I won't need the implementation. I'm just going to do it myself. He messages me all day long on Sunday.
Mm.
And he is fucking shit up left and right.
We got to reset him a book.
No, I told him, do not delete the email where your book came in. Because if you fuck this up, you're going to have to re-download it and start all over again. He's had to do it 3 times. Oh. It's Tuesday. He just bought the book on Sunday.
I know today is Tuesday.
So
poor guy. Does he listen to the podcast?
No.
Okay.
So
well, we're not dragging.
But even if he does, like, he needs to hear this. He bugged me all day long on a Sunday. This cell isn't working right. This cell isn't working right. And when I could get back to him fast, I would. When I was busy with family, it may take me an hour to get back to you or whatever. And when it would take me an hour to get back, he would message back and be like, he would send a message saying, this ain't working right. 2 minutes later, he'd send another message saying, never mind, I got it.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
An hour later, this ain't working right. And then 2 minutes later, never mind, I got it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
pull the Band-Aid off, bro, if you're listening to this podcast, and pay for the fucking implementation. Jesus.
So then Monday morning, I wake up to text messages, and now he's getting short, and he's getting snippy.
And he's like, called him. You should have been like, hey, dude, look.
No, I was just messaging. Like, he's in like Excel... like formula, like not Excel cell formulas. Like he's in like, what type of Excel document is this? Is this an XPS document? Is this a 97 Excel doc? Like he's changing settings that aren't even advised.
That's not
right.
Good.
And so I told him flat out, I'm like, you are going to have to start over. You did not listen. Like we give you a video that shows you exactly what to do.
Did he even watch it?
No. And then he asked me, he's like, should I do this on a Mac or a PC? And I'm like, you need to do it on a PC. And then he's showing me videos of things that aren't working right. And he's on a Mac.
You can do it on a Mac. You just have to know what you're doing.
Yes.
You got to know how to run a Mac.
And you have to know a little bit about Excel. You have to know how to copy and paste.
You have to know a little bit about Excel.
Yeah. And so
on a Mac,
eventually, so by the midday Monday, he's like mad and he's like telling me we should update our import video because it doesn't include this. And I'm like, dude, you shouldn't be in that part of Excel. You're like in the configuration mode of Excel. Like I'm not redoing my import. Like we've sold hundreds of these and you're the only one that's had a problem with it. Right. And so then
that's so good.
Then by Monday evening, I'm like, I sent him another message. Did you get it figured out? He goes, yeah, I said fuck it to all of it, and I completely left House Call Pro, and now I'm on Field Pulse.
Oh, my God. That's a worse case.
Right.
That's not good.
Right. And
it's
so,
easier on House Call Pro.
Well, I don't want to, like, Field Pulse sponsors the show. I don't want to badmouth
Field Pulse. No, but Field Pulse, you have to have them do it for you.
Well, so I told him flat out. I'm like, good. I'm happy you're on Field Pulse. This is great. They'll do it for you. And he goes, yeah, I know. They told me that.
For $400.
Well, I said, yeah, you have to pay them for the implementation to do it, which is what we do.
He could have stayed on House Call Pro, could have paid the $500, and it would have been done. And not only would it have been done and implemented, we make changes in there that they want to see.
Yes.
Like, literally, if you're like, hey, I'd like to change this, this, and that, that Mitch is like, here, let's do it right now. Click,
yeah,
click.
Done.
Blah, 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 blah. Is that what you want to see? Yeah. Okay, good.
So
And
that's the example I'm wanting to leave everybody with is instead of the guy going all in and just saying and realizing, okay, I'm not smart enough with computers and Excel to do this. I need to fork out the 500. He went a completely different direction, changing CRMs and everything.
He spent $2,500
extra. You just dug the hole deeper.
Like, I don't want to laugh at the guy, but it's like, you're right. He did just dig the hole deeper.
It's asinine, right? And so there are times like today. We're printing off.
What are we talking? Are we talking about
notebooks?
You spending all my fucking money?
Yeah. So we print off these custom notebooks. Anytime we have an in-person event, we print off of these custom notebooks that have a really good itinerary and everything else on them.
When we have them in KC, yeah, that's what we do.
The last event we did in Vegas, we printed off these notebooks. It was a Tradewinds members only event, and it was a very small attendance. And we didn't have very many speakers. The notebooks were minor, and that was also a year ago. And I don't know what happened to Office Depot. The last time we printed off notebooks, it was like $200 or $250 for notebooks. It was $1,000 today for me to print off notebooks for this event.
Oh, bro.
Right? So On top of, so this event cost, the ticket prices are $200 a piece.
Oh,
it cost us $70 a person to feed them.
No, it costs $90 a person to feed.
Okay.
And then you just spend another $20 in Nova.
And then it was $18 a person. And
so that means people that bought tickets at the $99 because they're at crew or discounted tickets, we still lost $10.
Yes.
I hate you. I fucking hate you.
We are notoriously unprofitable when we throw these events because the goal is not to make profit. The goal is to make change, right?
Yeah. The goal is to provide value to the guy, to everyone that shows up, regardless of if it costs us a little bit of money.
Right. But
that's the purpose.
Like these notebooks are impactful. They're important because guys will use them to take really good notes on, and they'll take them home, and the speakers' names and profiles and everything are on there and all this. It's not like we're going to be like, well, it's more than we thought, so we're just not going to do it. No. We sock up and we pay the $1,000 and we figure it out. And I tell Dave, hey, I spent an extra $1,000.
Dave poops his
and
pants.
We just have to figure it out, right? So ultimately,
oh, man.
If you go half in, you will never, ever win. A balanced scale reads zero, right? So you have to go all in. If you want to win in business, you have to go all in business. If you want to win in your home life, you have to go all in your home life. There is no balance, right? And so that doesn't mean you go all in business for 5 years and you ruin your home life, but that means 5 days out of the week, you're all in business. 2 days out of the week, you're all in at home. Or 5 days out of the week, you're all in business. 5 evenings out of the week, you're all in at home, right? You have to go all in. If you go half in, you will lose every time because your comfort zone will kill you. So if you're thinking about starting your business right now, put a start date on the calendar about 6 months out from now and then do it. Don't keep kicking the can farther down the road. And don't keep moving your goals that you set for you. Don't say, oh, if I get 10,000 in savings, I'm starting my business. And then when you have 10,000, well, I feel like I need 15. And then when you have 15, well, I feel like I need 20.
Yeah.
Like the only way you're going to do it is you just start it. I had no money in savings. I had a retirement account, but that didn't count. I had no money in savings whenever I started my business. We went all in and we did it. It just is what it is. That's the only way to be successful, right?
If I have to tell you to wrap up this show one more time,
I know.
I'm going to stab you with this. You're on one today. How many energy drinks do you have today?
None, believe it or not.
I had 3 Monsters today.
Yeah. And I've only had like half a Pepsi so far. You're still stable.
Yeah, I don't even have the shakes yet.
Yeah, it's a function. That's benefits of being a functioning alcoholic is you can drink Monsters and...
What do Monsters have to do with it?
You're good with stimulants.
I am good with stimulants. My body likes to go through stuff really fast.
So
wrap us up, buddy.
If you guys want to come to the event virtually, click on the link in the description of the show. If you want to start your business and this is the first time hearing the show, go back to the first 9 episodes. That's where we lay all the groundwork out there. If you guys want to ask us questions about how to do anything in business or your personal life, you can email Dave at david@tradewindsconsulting.com. You can email me at mitch@tradewindsconsulting.com. Or our old original email address was mitch@mitchsmedley.com. So either any of those 3 will get to us and we will answer your questions. If they're good enough questions, we'll put them on the podcast. We might even make an episode about them. So we want to help everybody. We don't do this show for anything other than to make a big difference in the trades community. So if we see you at the event, we are excited to see you. Do not hesitate to pull us aside and say hello.
Yeah.
And
that's the best part.
Yeah. And otherwise, we will see you guys next week. So talk to you later.